into the area now. Route 2 westbound is very slow. Exit 8 down to 2. And we have some slowdowns on 84 to eastbound. Exit 40 down to 50. And the westbound side is very slow. Exit 56 down to 49. No problems on 9. 384 is fine through Manchester. I'm Chanel Crispin. I'll be back at 7:45 with your next traffic check on the Talk of Connecticut.
My friends, it is 7:33. I just want to remind you again about 2018. I've been talking about the Catholic Cemetery Association of the Archdiocese for a couple of months now, and they have really, really helped so many of our listeners. No two individuals are alike. That's what we all know. And when you think about some of the things that we have to go through, and we're all going through the same thing at the end, and you know what that is. But I'll tell you something that they've told me, that prices have been stable for the past 5 years, okay, but costs have continued to rise, so you got to take advantage of current pricing right now prior to 2018, prior to next year. And you'll get educated, you'll speak to a family advisor. All you have to do is call 800-505-0080, okay? 800-505-0080, or go to ccacem.org. Great organization, Catholic Cemetery Association of the Archdiocese of Hartford. Well, Daniel, the president, CEO, and what a family. What a family.
Well, he's the chairman and CEO of Webster Bank, Jim Smith, and our Touchpoints Rehab interview chair. Jim, good morning and welcome to Brad and Dan.
Good morning, Brad. Good morning, Dan. I'm so delighted to be here.
No, it's terrific. I mean, really, and I've been at Webster Bank. I go to the Webster Bank right over here in Bloomfield. And, you know, one of the things, and I got to tell you this, about the banks that I have been in for years, is they are just friendly. You feel like you've known them all your life, really.
Well, thank you, Brad. And you've been so loyal, such a great customer and supportive of us in so many different ways. And I have appreciated it throughout my career. And I think we're sort of matched up there. I've got about 42 years at Webster now, and I think you're 40th anniversary here, right?
Yes, absolutely. 42, fantastic. Yeah.
So actually, I know you know the story that my dad actually founded Webster back in 1935 during the Depression to help people buy and build their homes. He borrowed $25,000 from family and friends. The government put in $75,000 that they had to pay back within 10 years so that they would make construction loans during the Depression under the National Housing Act, and that's how we got started. And we got our name Webster because that was my father's middle name. And we renamed the bank in 1995. My dad was still alive. And we wanted to honor him, and the values that he stood by and the courteous professional service was at the core of everything that we always did. And he always reminded me, because we worked together for 22 years, of how you must take care of your customers first, and everything else will take care of itself. And that is our mantra.
I never heard that story.
Was the bank always known as Webster Bank?
No, the bank was founded as First Federal Savings and Loan Association of Waterbury, a mutual savings and loan. Mm-hmm. And we converted to a publicly held company in 1986, mm-hmm. at about the time that my dad said he would retire, and then I became the chief executive. And I think you've probably heard that I have announced that at the end of the year, John Ciulla is going to become the chief executive officer of Webster.
And have heard great things about him.
Oh, he's a wonderful man, and I've been privileged to work with him for 14 years and very, very closely with him for several years now, because this succession plan is a long-term plan where we were so fortunate to find a very strong internal leader who will be a steward of the values laid down by my father, and I'd like to think carried on by me and all the other Webster bankers. And so we had a strong preference as a board to select an internal candidate. So John met the personal attributes, the stewardship of the values, and also is he's a very smart man. He's got a law degree and a business degree, and he's a strategic thinker, high performer, who helped build our commercial banking operations over the years and has advanced beautifully through the organization. Great leader, respected by the team. And so for me to be able to cement the future leadership of Webster at a time of financial and strategic and organizational strength for our company is terrific, and John is that leader.
It's amazing. It is amazing where your banks are. They're everywhere. They're in other states. I mean, it's not just here.
Yeah, that's true, actually. I remember when I got to the bank in 1975, we had about $150 million in assets. We then went public in 1986. Somebody showed me something just a few days ago, reminiscing a little bit, that we had $40 million was our market value when we became a public company, and today our market value is $5
billion.
Wow.
$5 billion, yeah. With
and,
a B.
Yeah. And our total assets now are $26 billion, and we have our retail community bank, we call it, serves southern New England, you know, densely in Connecticut, but also in Massachusetts, significantly in Boston, in Providence, down in Westchester County, New York. Commercial banking is a broader concentric circle than that, down into Philadelphia, Washington, D.C., back up around into Boston. Then we have a national health savings account program. So what's happened is over the years, because of the, I call it the cycle of confidence we've had with our customers, who we invest in them, and they in turn have invested in us and believed in us, which has allowed us to grow. And the value of the growth is to be able to further invest in your customers and to be able to expand those operations in a very positive way. So I've always said, and I think about my dad, that our mission has evolved over the years from helping people buy and build their homes to now helping businesses and consumers achieve their financial goals. Our vision has expanded from being the best bank in our neighborhood to the best bank in our community to now a well-respected, top 10 by ethical standards bank in the country through an independent survey. But the values endure. The values of personal responsibility, which we believe in, and I know you do too, Brad, so much, and respecting the dignity of every individual and earning confidence through ethical behavior and giving of ourselves and our communities and working together to achieve outstanding results. That is at the core. I call it the unshakable core of Webster. It binds us together in pursuit of our common goals, 3,500 community-minded, values-guided bankers believing every day they'll make a difference in the lives of the people that they serve. And yet it sets us apart as well, we think, competitively. It is our competitive differentiation, going back to the smiling people that you see in your Bloomfield office.
Absolutely. Really.
Jim, what did you learn from your dad?
I learned a lot from my father. He is he's my icon, basically, the person that I have looked up to the most. And I want to include my mother in there, too, because you know, she's a wonderful, wonderful person. And she's been gone about 10 years. My dad's been gone about 20 now. I learned that I could exceed expectations, that I could develop myself into a leader, which I've tried hard to do over many years, and that there were no barriers to what I would be able to achieve. I learned to respect the individual. I learned those values that I talk about. Those are the values that guided my father in my mind and in the other Webster bankers' minds in 1995 when we adopted them. That's what he believed in from 1935 on. That's what we believe in today. My primary responsibility as the chairman and CEO has been to be a reliable steward of those values and to make sure that all of our Webster bankers felt the same way.
You mentioned the word leader, and that hit me. And I gotta tell you what I hear, and I love it when I hear it, because I think you would be tremendous. Is there any possibility that you would be interested in being the governor of Connecticut? I hear it. I have to tell you, I had to bring it up because I hear it.
You know, Brad, you have had that twinkle in your eye for a long time. So, you know, I'll talk about what I'm thinking about. The first and most important responsibility I have is to faithfully fulfill my responsibilities as the chief executive of the company until the end of the year. And, you know, I'm so excited about that and about the future and having John and the leadership team to step in. Then I'm going to step back, and I'm going to consider a range of possibilities. You know, Kathy and I are very much involved in community work, as you know.
Oh,
I
mean, big time. Kathy, big time. Your wife is fabulous.
Yeah. And I'm going to stay as chairman of Webster for a while, and I will provide some advisory services. I'm also, in terms of the community activities, I'm chairman of the Harold Webster Smith Foundation, that is a private foundation we set up in my father's memory in late 1990s. You were talking about the Cemetery Association. I have the privilege of being the general chairman of the Hartford Bishops Foundation, which is associated with the Archdiocese and is raising funds to help support the initiatives of the Archdiocese, including those that have come out of the pastoral planning process. So we have lots of things that we're interested in. The one thing I can assure you is whatever I do is going to have a high emphasis on contributing to the common good, because that's what Kathy and I believe in. It's in our DNA. And even though I'm retiring from Webster, I'm not retiring overall, and I will find lots of good things to do. So only after the end of the year will I think about what those possibilities will be. But in the meantime, we have an active policy interest, though.
Well, could
I'm going to be reminding you of that.
I have no doubt.
So you're not ruling out a run for governor as part of your options once you retire from the bank?
Well, I need to be fair and say I haven't ruled anything in. So, you know, I'm open-minded about what the possibilities will be. So I think I probably should leave it at that.
Okay. Because, you know, the problem is time. When you're running for governor now, the candidates are already out there raising money, and the clock is ticking. And by the time you retire, it'll be just 10 months until the election.
But they're not Jim Smith, though.
But the other thing is, you know, you make a good point, Dan, that so for me, I have to have my priorities straight. Whatever I do, first and foremost, is I fulfill my responsibilities as chief executive. And only thereafter, when I've stepped away as an employee of the company, would I look at the other possibilities.
Talk about some of the other possibilities that actually you're engaged in now that you and your wife are working on for the common good.
Oh, my wife, Kathy, is amazing. She is, I guess, if she had, she does have a business card actually, and on it it says community volunteer. And she's so proud of that because she contributes so much, particularly to, you know, our great city of Waterbury. And when you drive through Waterbury and look at how beautiful it is, what an oasis it is. It's not what many people that don't know it think it is. It is a wonderful place to work and to live. And Kathy has given so much of herself, whether it was leading the renovations of City Hall a few years ago or the revamping of the downtown green, which is so beautiful, and working very closely with the mayor, Mayor Neil O'Leary, who has been just an extraordinary leader for Waterbury and his administration to get things done. Whether it was the Tiger Grant that they got to help develop along the riverway, or her 12 years as the chairman of the Mattituck Museum, she is deeply involved in all that is good from a community perspective. And we support one another. You know, she supports me. I mean, we've been a unit that has believed in Webster for over the 30 years plus that we have been married. She and I have always believed in this together, and we believe in the community work as well. So we're excited about being able to do even more than we invest today.
Now, you said you're going to stay on as chairman for a while. Is that correct?
Yes.
At some point, though, how difficult is it going to be for you to step back from what has been this family-started and owned business?
You know, I feel so good about the timing, about John's preparation, about this being the right time to make the move from a very strong position. And, you know, from my perspective as the leader, you have to know when is the moment. And John Ciulla is ready now to lead our company, as is the leadership team. And I'm so excited about where they will take us. We're in a transformational mode. So I've already, if accepted is the word, you know, I have completely dealt with the fact that I will no longer be the chief executive. And as chairman, I will be what's called non-executive chairman. So I will not be an employee of the company. And I will be aside from the company. So I'll work with the board, organize agendas, preside at meetings, shareholder meetings, and the like. John Ciulla will be the chief executive, and I'll provide some advisory services to John and the board as requested. So I'm completely comfortable with it. And I've been thinking about it for years because the board and I have been working on this plan for at least 4 or 5 years at this point and watching John develop and seeing him prepare to take over. So, you know, people say, well, what happened? How come you all of a sudden you made this announcement? How did John become the chief executive officer elect? And I say, well, it was gradually and then suddenly, you know, at the time that we made the announcement. But he's so well prepared, and I am completely at peace with the choice that I've made.
Well, again, too, and I think sometimes it's hard to believe that you can be something that because you are a leader, and there's no question about it, whether it's banking or anything else. And I have talked to your wife.
I know you have.
And she is really, she's unbelievable. She's tremendous.
She's a great partner. She's a great partner, and she believes in the principles that guide Webster. And, you know, speaking of which, our 82nd anniversary is next week. The bank was founded on October 11th, 1935.
Wow, we're going to talk about that. Let's get a traffic update first, Brad.
Okay, it is 7:48, 12 minutes before the hour of 8 o'clock in the morning. And let's check and see how the bumper-to-bumper crowd is doing right now. And here it is. Here is our traffic advisory at this hour.
All right. Well, 91, we have some very slow traffic. The good news is we had a stall that's been cleared away. The bad news is we have very heavy delays in Rocky Hill on 91 southbound into exit 23. And we have some slow going on 84 westbound between exits 56 out to 51 in East Hartford. Some extra company there. And Route 6 is very slow eastbound as you make your way into Finneman Road, some extra company there. And two, westbound, very heavy exit 8 down to exit 2. This report brought to you by the Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer. Taking your child's temperature shouldn't be as stressful as fighting through traffic with the Exergen Temporal Scanner. One gentle forehead scan is all it takes. Pick one up at your local club warehouse or other fine retailers. I'm Chanel Crispin, back at 8:07 with your next traffic check on the Talk of Connecticut.
Yes.
And it is, 7:49, 11 minutes before the hour of 8 o'clock. We were just talking about the chairman's dear wife. And she is a personality in her own, you know, what she does. She just...
She's an award winner, Brad.
A big-time award winner.
Your Money Now.
We got Your Money Now, and then we're going to talk about somebody who really knows how.
I'm Jennifer Kashinko with Your Money Now. Fed Chair Janet Yellen says the Fed is committed to making sure that the regulations it imposes on the nation's community banks are not unduly burdensome, underscoring her potential flexibility on post-crisis financial regulation as President Trump weighs whether to nominate her for a second term. Another high-power fundraiser for hurricane relief efforts, this one, will feature five former presidents: Barack Obama, George W. Bush, Bill Clinton, George H.W. Bush, and Jimmy Carter will be the headliners at a special concert October 21st at Texas A&M's Reed Arena. And the former commanders-in-chief will be joined by bands and musicians, including the Gatlin Brothers and Lyle Lovett. SeaWorld Entertainment shares surged after hours following a report that the owner of Legoland had approached the troubled water park operator about a sale. But the New York Post reports that Merlin's Entertainment is interested in just parts of SeaWorld, and a split of the water park by venue may not be possible. That's Your Money Now.
And it is 7:51, 9 minutes before the hour of 8 o'clock, and a very, very special guest with us this morning, Jim Smith, who is well known all over the state and a tremendous banker over the years, his whole family. And we're just talking about his dear, dear wife, and she has won a couple of big awards, too.
She sure has. She won a lot more than I have, Brad. actually, just last year, Kathy won the National Award for the Police Activity League.
Really?
For her work. Again, working very closely with the mayor and the Waterbury Police Department on our Police Activity League, which supports thousands of kids and gives them a place to go for sports, for learning, for activities. And it's truly amazing that she was selected as the national honoree. And I think, though, reflective of the great work that she's done. She also has won the highest award from United Way. That's the Lucy and Fred Kellogg Award. The highest award for economic development, which is the Malcolm Baldrige Award, given by the Greater Waterbury Chamber of Commerce. I mean, she is in the middle of everything good that is happening in Greater Waterbury and beyond.
She's just a tremendous, delightful person. Let me just remind you about a company that is right up there, too, the Cowan Tax Advisory Group. Yes, and they have been with us for a long, long time. If you're confused about what to do with your retirement funds, well, you can call the trusted tax and retirement planning specialists at the Cowan Tax Advisory Group. And here's their telephone number, 860-676-1100. You got it? 860-676-1100. Online, thecowantaxgroup.com. Investment advisory services offered through SGL Financial LLC.
Napa Know How.
It
takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
Are you the one? The Talk of Connecticut is interviewing to hire media sales representatives. A career in media sales with the Talk of Connecticut includes selling radio, events, and digital media. Call Shannon at 860-768-8510. Are you motivated to be the best? Do you want to work for a growing company that rewards success? Call 860-768-8510. Current media sales professionals from other industries, and recent college grads are encouraged to apply. Call Shannon, 860-768-8510.
Connoisseur Media is an equal opportunity employer.
Weekdays at 12 noon on the Talk of Connecticut, it's the Drew Mortgage Show. If you have questions or concerns about your current mortgage, or you're looking to refinance your home, call Douglas Rowan of Drew Mortgage. That's the Drew Mortgage Show. Weekdays at noon on the Talk of Connecticut.
Well, Dan, a very special guest today.
Brad, Chairman and CEO of Webster Bank, Jim Smith, and our Touchpoints Rehab Interview Chair. And Jim, you mentioned earlier how the 82nd anniversary of Webster Bank is on the horizon, and there's some big things planned. Talk about that.
Well, the big thing is to continually celebrate our heritage and to remember, you know, why we are so fortunate to be here and to be able to serve. And so what we'll be reflecting on is that day back in 1935, October 11th, when my dad opened the doors to what was First Federal Savings at the time on the second floor of the old Farrington building in downtown Waterbury in an 11 by 38 foot office.
Wow.
Where he was the only employee for the first several months. Then he added one and then more. And then, of course, we gradually grew. And we have a photo of my father from December of 1935. I call it the iconic photo. We discovered it in the archives about 2 or 3 years ago, just before the 80th anniversary. That photo, along with my dad's portrait, hangs in every office as a continual reminder of what matters most to Webster bankers and to our customers. And it's a photo that appeared in the newspaper in December of 1935 of my father standing on the door stoop of Joe Baltrish on Chamber Street in Waterbury, delivering a check for the first mortgage made by Webster.
Wow.
And there was my father,
wow,
humble banker, hat in hand. He had his hat in his left hand, delivering the check to Joe Baltrish.
Wow.
And that photo hangs everywhere as a reminder of why we're here. Take care of the customer. Live up to the customer. Live up to your communities. And, you know, that was the image of my father.
Correct me on this. I heard that home is still standing. Is that correct?
Not only is the home still standing, but we did a reenactment of that photo for our 80th celebration.
Really?
And I stood exactly where my father did. And I was with Peter Baltrish, who was Joe Baltrish's grandson, who spent a lot of time in the house and in the basement, you know, playing games with his granddad. And I presented him with a reprint of the iconic photo.
Wow.
Rather than a check. And, yeah. And I remember, you know, standing there and thinking of my father, you know, 80 years prior, standing in the same, exact same space that I was, handing over the check, and what it must have been like for him. And I can't tell you what a moment that was for me.
Well, think about it. The bank was founded in the depths of the Depression. Talk about that.
Exactly right. Roosevelt, under the National Housing Act, enabled savings and loan associations to be formed to make construction loans primarily, because if you go to a bank to get a loan, they would push you to buy the foreclosed property that they had because the economy was so weak. And to stimulate economic growth and development, Roosevelt had the idea that, you know, we should have the National Housing Act, and that was how the bank got started.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember in the 1980s when I was living in Virginia, driving up to a machine at a bank, pressing a couple of buttons, and this machine would spit out money. Technology has really changed since you started in the business. How has it changed your business?
Oh, technology has been a huge driver of convenience, speed, lower cost, better service for customers. And as much as the personal touch, which we pride ourselves on, is crucially important, automation, electronics, technology is really important to meeting changing consumer behaviors and needs. And today, for example, more than 70% of all transactions at Webster are done through some kind of automated means, whether it's the ATM or online banking or mobile banking.
Wow.
Where we have a huge amount of people that have adapted to that. And so a lot of the business is done in that fashion. So you've got to be able to continue to invest. And our growth has helped us to create the capital that allows us to invest in technology to ensure that we're relevant to the future of our customers. And in Connecticut in particular, and I talked about the size of the franchise, what we always remember is that Connecticut is our home base. That's where our roots are. Today, I think more than one out of every eight Connecticut families banks with Webster, and we have 30,000 small businesses here that bank with us as well. And we remember always that we are a reflection of their well-being, which is why we try to be a catalyst for a positive change as well.
What a pleasure to have you with us today. I know Dan's excited. I'm excited. And your tremendous contribution, you and your dear wife. And I just hope that you will think about what I have talked about and not forget that I happen to think that you would make a tremendous governor.
I really appreciate that, Brett. Thank you very much. And I promise to be open-minded.
Terrific. We'll have you back. Jim, thanks for joining us morning.
Thank you, Dan.
You're
welcome. Thank you, Brad.
You bet. Okay, coming up to 8 o'clock in the morning. Yes, I feel pretty good this morning, Dan.
Len Bestoff.
Yes, he's next, a good investigative reporter.
Yes.
He'll be our next guest. Stay with us. More to come, my dear friends.